Why is it some people can just lose weight? Yeah, it's just that, you know, they just got to think about it and the pounds drop off, and others of us make the dial go around twice. I didn't realize that. It's, you know, we carry a lot of weight around with us, spiritually speaking, as well. It's what I've been referring to as baggage when it comes to our understanding of our Christian life. And it's difficult, just as difficult as it can be for some people to lose physical pounds, it's difficult sometimes for people to lose spiritual pounds and remove the baggage. And I've been, in the last couple of weeks, talking about some of this baggage, referring to it as terms that we maybe don't understand. And what I mean by that is we have baggage around some of these words, words like sin, words like sanctification and justification. We can define those and we understand what those mean, but we always have a few extra pounds associated with them, and they can be referred to maybe on a negative sense as opposed to what God is trying to speak to us. So how can we shed these spiritual pounds? It's like losing physical pounds. Like losing physical pounds, is it just simply willpower or a lack of it that causes failure? Are people convinced that if they, many people rather, are convinced that if they only had enough willpower, they could achieve anything, even lose weight? Yet many others are defeated on a daily basis by what seems to be a lack of that same willpower, from everything from losing weight to giving up cigarettes to eating healthy to having a better lifestyle to have an improved prayer life. And I'm going to read the Bible more, but never quite do it. You know, Romans 7 and 8 talks about this problem pretty straightforwardly, about the conflict that goes on in our minds and our hearts and how to achieve some victory over that. And we're going to talk about that this morning. Romans 7 says, as we've been talking about, "For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do." And that sounds like a person who's struggling with a weight problem, doesn't it? Whether it's spiritual or physical, and particularly spiritual. Especially as maybe you're standing in front of the fridge when we go back to that physical and the door's open and you're contemplating your next snack. You know, what I want to do, I do not do, and what I hate, I do, and we grab another brownie or what it may be. Today, as we look at Romans chapter 8, we're going to look at God's answer to this lifelong spiritual dilemma of doing what I don't want to do, even though when I know what I should do and really want to do is. Talking like Paul when I put that sentence together. And it's much more to do with our life than the matter of giving things up that are bad for our health or even losing a few pounds. It has everything to do with our spiritual walk with God, both now and forever. Romans 8, 6, and 7 in particularly says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit." So here's the truth in those two verses. You're going to do one thing or the other. It's not a third choice anymore. It never was. You're going to set your mind on godly things, or you're going to set your mind on non-godly things, other things, things of the flesh, as Paul puts it. It's not as if you're going to do some of one, a little bit of the other. Every choice we make in life is going to be one of those two options. And that may sound obvious or maybe too simplistic in a way, but it's not that obvious, and it's certainly not that simple in reality. And I want to look at that this morning. But before we do, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we've all come here this morning and brought along with us baggage. And some of that baggage might just be something as simple as, I was in a rush to get here today, and I'm still kind of there. Something maybe happened at home that, you know, I'm preoccupied with. And something maybe happening later on today, and I'm still not here. Help us to be right here, right now, Lord. Help us to listen to your voice. Help us to listen to your Spirit and receive that food, that nourishment that we need to continue growing. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I tried to allude to it, I guess, with the kids here a little bit, too, that seeds, when they're growing, they have sort of one thing on their minds. They want to put minds in there, I guess. They want to grow. That's what seeds want to do. You put a seed in the ground and you put water on it, it wants to grow. It's what it does. It's its natural kind of thing. They head for the sun, as the one girl said to us. Our job, really, for us, our job is kind of the same, except the sun we're heading for is not spelled S-U-N, it's spelled S-O-N, and we want to be heading for the sun always. The point in Romans, and that we can take away here, is how to do that, and that's setting our minds. We need to actively set our minds on the things of God. And, you know, it's something, it's a conscious decision in the early stages of that. It's got nothing to do with willpower. It's got everything to do with being in the moment and focused. And when we're faced with the different things that we are faced with in our life, in our day, what's God's choice here? And if you do something like that after for a while, it becomes habit. Ron, you do karate, you take karate, and you're pretty proficient at it these days. Well, you got a black belt. That's pretty proficient. If someone were to come up to you, Ron, and sneak up behind you and push you, what would be your first reaction? You'd respond with your karate a little bit there if you got surprised. Just right. Yeah, because you've been training and it's become a habit, but it's something you had to work at and train yourself to respond that way. Renata, when you're playing the keyboard, you're not thinking about playing so much anymore because your hands kind of know what they're doing, don't they? After you've been training so hard, it's become a habit now. I mean, you're in the moment listening and reading the music, but you're not trying to figure out where your fingers have to go anymore because they kind of know. Yeah, they do. When I play guitar, it's like that for me too. The things that we work on for our habits, after a while, the muscle memory's there because you've set your mind on that enough. It's become an automatic process to some degree. So when I think of a D chord on a guitar, I don't see that symbol D. I can see what my hand feels like. And that's a weird thing. Musicians would understand what that means, I guess. We all have things that we do that we set our minds on a regular basis. We respond automatically because we've spent our lives training ourselves to respond a certain way. In the beginning, setting your mind is simply saying, I'm going to stop for a moment and make a choice here. And it doesn't mean physically stopping. Wait, everybody, I can't wait, I just got to think. It means just pausing for that moment, to be in the moment and choose carefully what you're going to set your mind on. See, we like to think, like the seeds in that parable, that everything we do is because of our environment, especially in our modern sort of culture that we live in today. Oh, he's like that because he grew up in bad soil. She's like that because she grew up in rocky soil. Well, that guy's like that because he grew up in the right soil. It has nothing to do with them. It has everything to do with the soil they happen to be in. And that's a right principle of some degree. But we aren't seeds. We're human beings created in God's image. And we have choice in everything that we have in front of us. God has given us that gift. But we can only do this with help from Christ in our life. The Holy Spirit in our lives helps us to succeed in living God's way. On our own, as Paul tells us through Romans 7 and 8, we're going to stumble and fail. And that's really what the parable Jesus is talking about. Jesus isn't talking about the good soil. He's talking about, when he explains that parable, he's talking about decisions people make. They hear the word, they don't really pay attention to it. So it falls away. They hear the word, but they don't nourish it enough, and it dries up and dies. They hear the word, and they set their minds on God's ways, and it grows and multiplies 100-fold, 60-fold. We're called to set our minds. And that's moment by moment, day by day, actively choosing what God wants instead of what we want. Flesh versus spirit, as Paul puts it. It's not simply willpower that makes us better in our journey with God. It's through God's grace, active in our lives, that makes all the difference. And Jesus says this at the end of the first part of that parable, when he just tells the parable. Anyone with ears, let them listen. Let them hear. You know, on television on Saturday Night Live years ago, Hans and Franz were characters that were a recurring sketch called Pumping Up with Hans and Franz. It was Saturday Night Live, as I said, and Hans and Franz were played by Dana Carvey and Kevin Nealon. And in the sketch, they play a pair of muscle-bound Austrian jocks who kind of mimicked Arnold Schwarzenegger. They had fake padding for their muscle, padding for their fake muscles, rather, and wore these sweatsuits and weight belts, and they talked with their German accents or Austrian accents. In the background were pictures of Arnold. And they would say together, "We're going to pump you up." Because Arnold used to say that when he was trying to be inspirational. But what their big phrase was, "Hear me now, listen to me later." And then they would give some silly advice about weightlifting or something. It's that phrase, "Hear me now, listen to me later," that I think of when Jesus is telling this particular parable. And he says, "For those who have ears to hear, let them hear." Mechanically, we hear the words of God's promise and God's grace in Matthew and in Romans, particularly today. But we need to listen so we can understand what they've said. "Hear me now, listen to me later." Jesus says, though, again in verse 9, "Let anyone with ears listen." You know, the disciples, Jesus didn't explain his parables very often, but he does in this one, because the disciples, which we didn't read, the disciples come to him in verse 10 and they say, "Why do you speak to the people in parables? Because they're just not getting it." We have the advantage now that, you know, we've read these explanations, we've heard sermons galore over the decades of people expounding on the parables of Jesus. When they were there in that moment, "Why are you talking about dirt and seeds? I don't get this. Like, what's this all about? It's not making any sense to us. Why are you talking in these riddles?" And in this particular case, Jesus takes the time to explain it. He's trying to teach them to be in the moment. He's trying to teach them to set their minds. Stop just listening to the surface stuff. Look for God's response and answer in this. They were hearing, but they weren't really listening. And they clearly didn't want to wait to figure it out, because they bugged him to say, "You know, tell us some more." So, when we're setting our minds, when we're walking with God, when we're in this conflict between flesh and spirit, is it simply willpower that gets those pounds off, spiritually speaking? Is it mere determination on my part that gets me right with God? Of course it isn't. It's not my will or lack of it. It's Christ in me, as Romans reminds us. But if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his spirit that dwells in you. What we have to do to set that off and get that going is to set your mind. We need to set your mind. For it is Christ in all of us that makes the difference. You think we've got that? Hear me now, listen to me later. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask that you can help us to, in every moment that we're facing today, the moments that are going to come right after church today, the moments that are going to come in this afternoon, we can pause, spiritually speaking, just pause for a moment and set our minds looking for what you want us to do and how you want us to respond. Lord, as we do this more often, it'll become almost a habit. It'll become part of who we are. And it's the power of your Spirit working in our lives that will make that happen. And we'll continue to be walking in your way, always looking for that opportunity. Where's God here? Where's God here? How can I respond better in a godly fashion? We thank you for your Holy Spirit that empowers us and guides us in this way. And Lord, we offer all of this prayer and this time together up in Jesus' mighty name, knowing that we have victory because of his death and resurrection. Amen. And now bring our gifts, because